And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
All right, running a little bit late, but not as bad as I have a couple of times anyway. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, the 10th of April. And, man, things are falling apart faster than we can get duct tape and put them back together. But let me go check and make sure. I've had a little trouble with my computer tonight getting things going. It had to update right at the most inopportune time. And I think everything is running all right, but I'm going to go over here and check and make sure we have sound. So if anything happens, then don't be all that surprised. If the computer, I've got way too many things saved and opened up here, and that's what I'm trying to do is get these things loaded into podcast and everything. So, okay, looking at the chat room here, and it looks like, let's see, Mountain Shooter says they're using colloidal silver. Thank you, Mountain Shooter. Using colloidal silver in a mumps outbreak in hospitals in California. That's interesting. And Tebow says he just used colloidal silver to stop the mumps. Very interesting. There's Nan. Yeah, I wouldn't call it procrastinating, Nan. It's only been, what, a year or so since I've had you trying to get you on silver, so that's not too bad. I mean, there's some people, I guess, go a whole lifetime and don't ever get on it. Of course, they die at an early age, but no, I'm just kidding you, man. Anyway, thank you, DeTinker. Yeah, and thanks for that story on Chuck Norris. We talked about that Monday night. That was a Chuck Norris and Glock. That's quite a combo there. Yeah. So, let's see. I wish I had more details. I guess if... Mountain Shooter, if you have a link or something to that mumps story in California and colloidal silver, I would sure like to see it. Add that to my vast library of colloidal silver stories here. All right, well, let's jump right into it here. I've got something I want to, I was going to try to get it recorded, and I didn't get it in time, but I'm still going to let you listen to it because it's just one of those things that you ought to listen to. So let me see if I've got it saved on here. I'll tell you where I can find it. It's fascinating. But let me just bring this up. While that's coming up there, I'll... okay. Thank you, Mountain Shooter. Hopefully you can find that. I'd sure like to check that out, man. And I get, and Nan, this is not directed towards you, okay? I'm just funning with you. But I do get frustrated, and I've told you this before, on Facebook, when I hear people, person after person after person after person, oh, the kids are sick, oh, the kids did this, oh, they got, you know, chicken pox, and this, and that, and the other. And I've told them time and again, colloidal silver. Now, I shouldn't have to spend time on this chat room telling you what I think about colloidal silver and what it does. Most of you have heard it, you know, like 90 times. And a lot of you are using it, and we've had 100% positive results out of 100% of the people that use it. There are no true detrimental stories about properly made colloidal silver. There's just not any. There are no lack of success stories, even if it's not detrimental. There is no such thing as a lack of success story about colloidal silver. if I've never heard any, and if there are, I can guarantee you it either wasn't made right or they're just flat out lying. I've spent too much time using this stuff and researching it, and I've probably, as I've said, you know, 100 times or probably 1,000 times, I've probably turned on well over 1,000 people to this stuff. And I have never, ever gotten a failure story out of it. Unless they're trying to cure a broken arm or something. But if it's bacterial, viral, or fungal, colloidal silver so far has been successful. So I've got to think sometimes people just enjoy being sick. Because the cure, the prevention is there. It's as easy to make as iced tea. It's cheaper than iced tea. And there's just, and it doesn't interfere with any medications. I think I've heard of one person, and I don't know that that's true, that was allergic to silver. Maybe not, I don't know. But other than that, there is absolutely no reason not to be using this stuff and using it regularly. I don't mean wait till you get sick, take a spoonful and say, well, that doesn't work. I mean take it every day of your life for the rest of your life. And you would be amazed at what this stuff can do. So, preaching to the choir. I know you guys have heard that so many times. Let's move on. You know, these people that are trying to, that are pushing socialism, and these millennials and these idiot Democrats and all these people that are trying so hard. And I don't understand what they don't understand. I don't know why they cannot see what's happening in so many different countries from way back when, what socialism has done. Right now, Venezuela is the number one poster child for what socialism can do to a country, to an economy. We've heard about them, you know, getting so bad that a wheelbarrow full of cash wasn't getting them enough, you know, to eat for a week or whatever. We've heard about them eating all the zoo animals, you know, dogs and cats long since gone. And now, apparently, they are breaking into targeting cemeteries and stealing anything that they can sell for a profit, anything from jewelry to bones. They had, the BBC has talked to some relatives of those that are buried in a cemetery in Venezuela. This is the largest burial ground in Caracas, that now have to stand guard at their family's tombs to keep the looters out of them. There you have it. There's what socialism does for you. If you want to get to a point where we have to start robbing graves to find enough jewelry to buy groceries, then something is not exactly as it should be. It says they're taking jewelry, gold teeth, skeletal remains that can be used for some rituals. Said the damage is so widespread that cemetery workers cannot repair the graves. Thieves have broken into not just graves of common people, but those of historical figures, such as, and I don't know this guy, a novelist and former Venezuelan president, Romulo Gallegos. This is a lawless land. There is no respect for anything here. God will punish those people that are doing this. You know, maybe not. It's one thing, I'm not 100% convinced that taking jewelry from somebody that's buried is classified as, I mean, I guess it is. I don't know. But, I'm not sure it's the same as stealing from somebody living. I can see it being stealing if you come up on a car wreck and the guy's dead and you take his wallet. That's not right, because that, if there's money in that wallet or credit cards, that is rightfully his family's or friends or acquaintance, someone that can help with, taking care of his affairs. But once this is all long done and over with and been in the ground for 50 years, then I don't know that that is something that God would, if you're doing it as a, because you're a scumbag anyway, that's one thing. If you're doing it because your family is starving to death, I don't necessarily believe that God will judge you, and he'll judge you, but whether it will be a bad deal or not, I don't know. Just one of those things. The Yakima Glock, I tell you what, I've watched your works here from the beginning when it was pretty simple and basic, and you're doing some marvelous work with some of the things that you're doing now. I really enjoy looking at some of the things that you post out there. Some neat works of art that you're turning out there. Let's see here. I think that was the biggest thing of, says the morgues are struggling to handle the sheer number of arriving dead bodies, many of whom have died as a result of violence or lack of basic medical care. Report published last December found that murder rates actually fell over the course of 2018 because violent criminals joined the millions of people fleeing the country's economic and humanitarian crisis. And I think we're headed that direction. We get people like AOC and some of these other retards out there. Speaking of retards, New Mexico's governor is right up there with the best of them. She has just a week or so ago signed into law a gun control bill that was vetoed by the governor before her, by Susana Martinez. But this new one here that is law now, it was Senate Bill 328. For people that, in under protective orders and whatnot, makes the surrender of guns, what does it say, making the surrender of guns possessed by a subjected individual mandatory requirement. It's a red flag law. It's people are suspect that you are cuckoo or angry or something, and they just say, you just give up your guns, that's it. No due process, no nothing, just give them up. And that's not the only thing she's done. There's been a number of things that's happened in New Mexico here over the last few months. It's been, none of it's been good at all. Somebody sent me something the other day, and I can't remember what it was. It was something that was defeated in New Mexico, and that was good, but it wasn't good because of the governor. It was good because of activists out there that are, fighting this stuff. People like, they're doing things like Tebow does. Tebow's not there anymore, but there's a friend of mine and Amy's in Pytown, New Mexico, that has really been active, really, really been hustling out there. I've got another friend over by, it's actually Bob Wright's girlfriend over in southeastern New Mexico. She is extremely involved in this stuff. And people like that, and there's quite a few people in Farmington that are staying pretty active in there. And we've got people here in Arizona that are working hard to defeat some of this stuff, but it's coming on faster than we can deal with it. Let's see. There's really nothing to this story except the headline. Here's an illegal immigrant charged with 5 deaths in Missouri, found dead in his jail cell. Happy stories sneak in here every once in a while, too. Doesn't say why he died. They're still investigating that, but you know, it's anybody's guess. But as long as he did, I guess that's really all that matters. Let's see. That's a story for another time. You know, this is a story. We're going to talk about this Monday. This is something that Doc called me about here day before yesterday, I guess it was. Monday, I think. And maybe yesterday, I don't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And it's an interesting concept. I'll just leave it at that. It's about guns, of course. It's the only reason Doc would have called me is to talk about guns. That's what we do. So Monday, we'll spend quite a bit of time on this. I got too many stories to do tonight to take care of this, but we'll get to it. Okay. Here, I hate stories like this because ultimately the taxpayers are the ones paying for it. However, these people, there's two or three retailers here, two retailers and two individuals that are suing the federal government for the fact that they had to destroy 75,000 bump stocks. Actually, 74,995 bump stocks. To the ban that took effect last month, they said you either turn them in or destroy them within 90 days. And to turn them in, you're gonna give these to the government? No. They're not going to compensate you for it, so why would you give them to the government? You have but one choice. Actually, I wonder if anybody pursued the idea of selling these things overseas. You would think that maybe there would be a hell of a black market market for them. I don't know how that works. But anyway, they're suing, and I do hope they win. That ticks me off because the taxpayers are the ones that ultimately have to pay this thing. I have said forever that when you're going to sue the government for something, don't sue the government. Sue the individuals that that violated your rights. I mean, whoever the head of the ATF or, whoever it is, Attorney General, Secretary General, whatever, sue them individually by name, not by title, not as a government entity, but as a person. And I don't know how all that works, how successful it would be. But I know a couple people that if I were to take a notion to do that, I know a couple people that would be, Van Tebow knows at least, and knows both of them, would be very, very helpful in that. Oh, by the way, Tebow, I got your package today, too. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but thank you. I will go over it here in the next day or two. It won't be Friday. I mean, it won't be Saturday. I told you what's going on Saturday. And I'm thinking that Sunday, I'm probably not going to be in the mood for reading. I'm probably going to be in the mood for sitting, watching TV. But we'll see what happens. It may not be as bad as I think. But I tell you what, it's going to be interesting because when we go on this walk, there's weather, conflicting stories on different weather outlets here, but it seems like there's going to be a good, it snowed today, as a matter of fact, but it's supposed to snow Friday and again Saturday. And I've told the friends to go with me, I said, I don't care what the weather does. Bring a poncho. I'm going. I don't care if it snows 2 feet. I'm making this walk. Now, the thing that's going to mess me up, because I'm doing this for research purposes, for logistical reasons, 2 feet of snow would slow me down and I wouldn't get an accurate measurement. And that's, but nevertheless, I've already committed to do this and it's going to happen. Rain or shine, doesn't make any difference. If it rains and snows and carries on, I may be going by myself, but I am going. And we'll see what happens. It'll be fun to some degree, but it's been a good many years since I've walked over 20 miles in one day. So we'll see what happens. Okay, let's move on here. Let me see. Oh, you know what I need to do? I probably ought to go ahead and take my break here because I've got to find something I want you to hear. And I think you can hear it good enough just, you know what? I'll do the same thing that I do on Friday nights. I'll just, we'll have a little bit of dead air and I'll go over to that live, you know, in that other format, and then I'll come back. I think that would be the best way to do it. So let's do that. I'll put on a couple of things here, and then when I get find that and get it loaded up,
I'll be back.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we want it to maintain and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis?
Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, why is
America not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about
fine.
Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of our paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it any time he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so damn always?
Hey,
and with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period generation period ever period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars. Acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
Yeah, we can see.
Okay, back. Let's see if we can muddle through the rest of this here. I've got a, let's see if I can find it again. Here we go. This is a new girlfriend of mine. Amy thinks I have too many girlfriends, and with this one right here, I may be starting to thin them out a little bit. This one right here has, I may have to fight Tebow over this one. But, okay, sirrah, sirrah. You got to listen to what this woman said. You may have already heard this on, it's all over Facebook and everywhere else. But this is an awesome talk by this young lady. She has, she hit the nail on the head. Now, if you, well, she, I don't have to tell you anything. I was going to say, well, give you a couple of details, but you don't need those because she will give you those details. So stand by just a second, and I want you to listen to this little speech.
Time has expired, Ms. Owens.
That was unfair.
It was not unfair. You had plenty of extra time, Ms.
No,
Owens.
I did not.
Ms. Owens.
Mr. Chairman, ranking... There we go. Mr. Chairman, ranking member Mr. Collins, thank you for having me here today.
Time has expired, Ms. Owens.
That was unfair.
It was not unfair. You had plenty of extra time, Ms.
No,
Owens.
No, I did not.
Ms. Owens.
Mr. Chairman, ranking member Mr. Collins, thank you for having me here today. I received word on my way in that many of the journalists were confused.
Okay, I don't know what happened. It's not working according to plan. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to play this into the microphone here because I've done that before and you guys said it sounded okay. So I'm going to set this up here and start this over. Sorry for the delay and the dead air time there, but let's do this thing right now.
That was unfair.
It was not unfair. You had plenty of extra time.
No, I did not.
Ms. Owens.
Mr. Chairman, ranking member Mr. Collins, thank you for having me here today. I received word on my way in that many of the journalists were confused as to why I was invited, and none of them knew that I myself was a victim of a hate crime when I was in high school. That's something that very few people know about me. Yeah. I'm honored to be here today in front of you all because the person sitting behind me is my 75-year-old grandfather. I've always considered myself to be my grandfather's child, and I mean to say that my sense of humor, my passion, and my work ethic all comes from the man that is sitting behind me. My grandpa grew up on a sharecropping farm in the Segregated South. He grew up in America on words like racism, white nationalism, how to win the Democratic Party's Jim Crow laws. My grandfather's first job was given to him at the age of 5 years old. His job was to light tobacco out to dry in the attic in the South.
All right, I don't know why this is not working right. It's hearing my voice because I see the deal bouncing up and down there. I'm going to turn this up a little bit and see if that helps. I really want you guys to hear this if you haven't already heard it. Tebow has heard this, but it's a marvelous speech, talk, whatever you want to call it. So let's try this one more time. Stand by. Still not working. Dang it. Okay, I don't know what else to do here. I may have to give up on it. I've never had this much trouble. Stand by. We're going to try this one more time.
Expired, Ms. Owens.
That was unfair.
It was not unfair. You had plenty of extra time, Ms.
No,
Owens.
I did not.
Ms. Owens.
Mr. Chairman, ranking... There we go. Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Mr. Collins, thank you for having me here today. I received word on my way in that many of the journalists were confused as to why I was invited, and none of them knew that I myself was the victim of a hate crime when I was in high school. That's something that very few people know about me, because the media and the journalists and the left are not interested in telling the truth about me because I don't fit the stereotype of what they like to see in black people. I'm a Democrat, I support the President of the United States, and I advocate for things that are actually affecting the black community. I'm honored to be here today in front of you all because the person sitting behind me is my 75-year-old grandfather. I've always considered myself to be my grandfather's child, and I mean to say that my sense of humor, my passion, and my work ethic all comes from the man that is sitting behind me. My grandfather grew up on a sharecropping farm in the segregated South. He grew up in an America where words like racism and white nationalism held real meaning under the Democrat Party's Jim Crow laws. My grandfather's first job was given to him at the age of 5 years old, and his job was to lay tobacco out to dry in an attic in the South. My grandfather has picked cotton, and he has also had experiences with a Democrat terrorist organization of that time, the Ku Klux Klan. They would regularly visit his home, and they would shoot bullets into it. They had an issue with his father, my great-grandfather. During my formative years, I had the privilege of growing up in my grandfather's home. It's going to shock the committee, but not once, not in a single breath of a conversation, did my grandfather tell me that I could not do something because of my skin color. Not once did my grandfather hold a gripe against the white man. I was simply never taught to view myself as a victim because of my heritage. I learned about faith in God, family, and hard work. Those were the only lessons of my childhood. There isn't a single adult today that in good conscience would make the argument that America is a more racist or a more white nationalist society than it was when my grandfather was growing up. And yet we're hearing these terms sent around today because what they want to say is that brown people need to be scared, which seems to be the narrative that we hear every 4 years right ahead of a presidential election. Here are some things we never hear. 75% of the black boys in California don't meet state reading standards. In inner cities like Baltimore, within 5 high schools and 1 middle school, not a single student was found to be proficient in math or reading in 2016. The single motherhood rate in the black community, which is at 23% in the 1960s when my grandfather was coming up, is at a staggering 74% today. I am guessing there will be no committee hearings about that. There are more black babies aborted than born alive in cities like New York, and you have Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo lighting up buildings to celebrate late-term abortions. I could go on and on. My point is that white nationalism does not do any of those things that I just brought up. Democrat policies did. Let me be clear. The hearing today is not about white nationalism or hate crimes. It's about fear-mongering, power, and control. It's a preview of a Democrat 2020 election strategy, same as the Democrat 2016 election strategy. They blame Facebook, they blame Google, they blame Twitter. Really, they blame the birth of social media, which has disrupted their monopoly on minds. They called this hearing because they believe that if it wasn't for social media, voices like mine would never exist, that my movement Blexit, which is inspiring black Americans to leave the Democrat Party, would have never come about. And they certainly believe that Donald Trump would not be in office today. Looking on the next thing to focus on now that the Russian collusion hoax has fallen apart. What they won't tell you about the statistics and the rise of white nationalism is that they've simply changed the data set points by widening the definition of hate crimes and upping the number of reporting agencies that are able to report on them. What I mean to say is that they are manipulating statistics. The goal here is to scare blacks, Hispanics, gays, and Muslims into helping them censor dissenting opinions, ultimately into helping them regain control of our country's narrative, which they feel that they lost. They feel that President Donald Trump should not have beat Hillary. If they actually were concerned about white nationalism, they would be holding hearings on Antifa, a far-left, violent, white gang who determined one day in Philadelphia in August that I, a black woman, was not fit to sit in a restaurant. They chased me out. They yelled race traitor to a group of black and Hispanic police officers who formed a line to protect me from their ongoing assaults. They threw water at me. They threw eggs at me. And the leftist media remained silent on it. If they were serious about the rise of hate crimes, they may perhaps be examining themselves and the hate that they have drummed up in this country. Bottom line is that white supremacy, racism, white nationalism, words that once held real meaning, have now become nothing more than election strategies. Every 4 years, the black community is offered handouts and fear. Handouts and fear. Reparations and white nationalism. This is the Democrat preview. Of course, society is not perfectible. We've heard testimony of that today. There are pockets of evil that exist, and those things are horrible, and they should be condemned. But I believe the legacy and the ancestry of black Americans is being insulted every single day. I will not pretend to be a victim in this country, and I know that that makes many people on the left uncomfortable. I want to talk about real issues in black America. I want to talk about real issues in this country and real concerns. The biggest scandal, this is my last sentence, in American politics is that Democrats have been conning minorities into belief that we are perpetual victims, all but ensuring our failure. Racial division and class warfare are central to the Democrat Party platform. They need blacks to hate whites, the rich to hate the poor, and soon enough it'll be the tall hate.
Okay, how'd you like that? Let me turn this back down. Wow, that's okay, that looks a little better. My goodness. That is a marvelous speech, and it wouldn't have had nearly the impact if a white person had been saying it. It still would have been good, and it still would have been true, but having a young black female Democrat say all the things that she did is pretty freaking spectacular to me. Just a great speech and Mountain Shooter. It's not entirely true that the KKK was a Democratic Party thing. However, the people that started the KKK were Democrats, but There's no proof or no indication anywhere that says that the party itself had anything to do with that, but they were Democrats. So I wanted you to hear that. I don't have any other commentary on it, rather, other than, you know, what I already said there. So, all right, let's move along here and see what else we got. I got so many things here. That's going to be saved for Monday. This is pretty good. I don't have, you know, this is not any big story, but there was just a world record moose killed in Washington here just, it was last year, but they just got it out. It dried and scored and everything. And, boy, it was a monster. Killed it in Ferry County, Washington, up in northeast Washington. It's not too far from Marble, somewhere up in that area. All right, I guess you guys have heard that the last of the Doolittle Raiders died. The last one here, 103 years old, Colonel Richard Cole. He was actually the co-pilot for Doolittle. That's quite a deal, 103. My goodness. Since Glock has made the news here the last couple of shows, we can't go by a whole show here without putting one more little Glock item out there. And let me go out and see if Doc is with us here. Docs are of course, there ain't very damn many people here at all, which is why I'm not doing the shows live Friday anymore. Nope, Doc is not with us. So anyway, there is a... There it is. Customs and Border Protection just awarded an $85 million contract to Glock, largest law enforcement agency inside of the Department of Homeland Security, now going all Glock. They are, since 2004, they've been using the H&K P2000, which I never did quite understand. So this isn't only a change of manufacturer, but also a caliber change. They will be going to 9mm, as so many law enforcement agencies are. And it's what the military uses. They were using 40s before. The ones that they were using before is the ones that, first it was the HK, not first, but it was going in reverse order. The last one that they had was the HK 2000. Before that, it was a Beretta 96, also in 40 Smith & Wesson. And before that was 357 Magnum revolvers. That trade happened in 1995. So they're saying that this, they're doing 9mm, but which, here it is. This week's press release does not detail which model Glocks are covered in the award. Gun forums and industry press have speculated that it could be a mixture of legacy G26 and G19 designs, as well as the new Glock 47. So, all right, well, there you have it. Interesting stuff. Glock just... continues to, and I don't know why I spend so much time singing the praises of Glock, other than it's a great machine, it's a great product. I just hate having to do it because Gaston Glock is not pro-American. He's pretty much everything that I despise in people, but it's hard to not recognize the success of Glock pistols. So let's move on here. Let's see if we can knock out a couple more of these. But this one is disturbing. I know it's in China, but it's still disturbing. This is the kind of stuff, you know, in Nazi Germany, when they were confiscating and burning books by the hundreds of thousands or maybe even millions of books. I've seen pictures of huge piles of books. Well, China now And this is apparently a true story. I didn't spend a lot of time researching it today, but I did spend some time researching it. I looked, and everything that I can find indicates that this is a true story. That they are sending people, the Chinese police are sending people to concentration camps if they're found with Facebook on their phones. They're doing random stops, and they've got a little... And they're planting spyware on their phones. They're plugging their little USB thing into them. And this is pretty disturbing. You know, it is China. It's, of course, they're, you know, they can't do anything about it. I guess they can do what they did back in the, whenever it was, 1800 sometime, I guess, when they, used farm implements, you know, the what is now the modern day staff and nunchucks and all that stuff came from, legend has it anyway, come from modified farm implements so that they could fight back when they were disarmed many, many years ago. And maybe that's what they're going to have to do again. But it looks like it's about that time. Show some pictures here of cameras mounted everywhere and watching the population. And that's not, you know, when I went to Berlin the first time, well, the only time I went to Berlin, I was flabbergasted. I was completely dumbstruck by the number of cameras around there watching people, watching citizens walk up and down the street. And I said, wow, this can't be. And now here it is in the United States of America for the last several years. We've had cameras everywhere, street corners, stoplights, and all over stores. You can't walk around anywhere without being videoed by something, somewhere, somebody. That's the way it was in East Berlin in 1984, whenever it was that I was there. I think it was 84, 83 or 84. And I couldn't believe it then. So this picture that they're showing on here of the camera doesn't really move me too much because it's been going on for a long, long time. It says that offenders reportedly are being sent to re-education camps, clamped down on social media use. It's not just Facebook. It's Twitter and some other deals here. This guy claims to be a native. It's not all of China. It's one country or province or whatever you call it of China. I don't know how to pronounce it, and I'm not even going to try. But he shared what he said. This guy says that he secretly taken pictures inside of this certain region where the Chinese government restricts access by outsiders. Says he used special software to bypass the government censors and post images on Twitter. And he said living in China is like Nazi Germany and likened the Chinese Communist Party to ISIS. It's a long story, but it says if you've got caught with Twitter or Facebook on your phone, you could face 15 years in concentration camps. It says police check your phone looking for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any app not made in China. If they catch you with any of these apps or in contact with someone abroad, even someone from China who has now left the country, they accuse you of hating communism, of hating China. Almost every police officer has handheld equipment that they connect to your phone with a USB where they can scan everything on your phone, all your photos, everyone you've ever spoken to. So this is a bad deal. This is, I don't know if they plug into these phones. I don't know that if the phone is secured by password or fingerprint or whatever. Now, fingerprint, I've told you what I think about that. It's fine. It's handy. It's convenient. But it's definitely not foolproof. If all they got to do is, you know, cut your finger off and use it, or, you know, knock you out and use it, or force you, you know, get two or three guys, hold you down, it's not that big a deal. That can be defeated. But I don't know if plugging the USB deal in there would scan everything if the phone was still locked. Now, I'm sure they threaten these people with death or worse if you don't unlock it. But those are the things that, and these are things that I have, you know, advocated for, you know, all the people that I know that I regularly communicate with. We've got them on certain types of secure messaging deals and everything. We've talked about that before. And I am absolutely vehemently opposed to posting certain things on Facebook as you know, when you're doing things, when you're traveling and stuff. I just think it's a very, very bad idea. But it's everybody else's choice. I just choose not to. All right. Well, I've managed here to stumble through another show. If I can get all these pop-ups to quit coming around here, I might be able to stumble my way out of here. So I'm glad you guys joined me on the chat room. And you guys that are, well, I don't know, waiting on podcast, I am so sorry that I'm about 5 or 6, 7 shows behind. And I'm going to start working on that tonight. And I intend to have all of that taken care of by the weekend there, so, or after the weekend anyway, through the weekend, whatever. I'm going to get it done. So if I can, these pop-ups are killing me. I don't know where they came from. All right, got it. Okay, it's all the fun I can stand. We'll see you guys on, what is this, Wednesday? See you Monday. I'll be tuning up, getting hydrated, exercising, loosened up, trying to get ready to do our monster jaunt on Saturday. So I'll if I survive, if I live through it, I will let you know how it went, give you a full blow-by-blow report on Monday when I come back. And we will see you then.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.